Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Hi there. Thank you for joining me. On this show, we are taking action, becoming our own superheroes and saving ourselves. Now, you might think, yeah, right, easier said than done. And you would be right. Words are not enough. It's going to take action. Let's not forget the famous credo of the infamous Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. Saving the day is no easy task. And who wants to do that over and over? After you swoop in and become the hero of your own life, it's time to be strategic. How can we harness this power for the good and make sure we spend our precious time wisely? Ready to don the cape and set to flight? Have you ever been asked, if you could be a superhero, what would be your superpower? Seeing through metal? Leaping tall buildings? Breathing underwater? For me, I need a few. I would like to be able to sense another person's troubles. So often, we are experts at masking our deeper feelings. I would like to look inside someone to see what they're going through. Sounds scary, but of course, I would have an empathetic but protective shield around me to protect myself from absorbing someone else's energy. I'm typically bubbly and happy, and in some ways, that's great. But in others, I feel people may be resistant to show their true feelings around me. Then I would need the power to teleport wherever I was needed. If I could also have willpower like steel, that would be great too, and a disdain for carbs would be totally handy. Would your superhero be to save yourself or someone else? How about a little of both? Of course, it's fun to fantasize about dressing up as our alter ego and fighting all the demons in our lives. But the reality is, you do have power over your life. Even on the days you feel powerless, there is a phone booth just ready for you to change, empower yourself, and fly to your own rescue. For fun, you can go to whatsyourpower.com and take a short quiz to find out what your superhero power might be. Not sure they nailed it with me, but here's mine. Web slinger. Amazing. Spectacular. That's just a couple of words people use to describe you. You are funny, quirky, and maybe a little nerdy in a good way. But you can totally be the hero at times. You dabble in a lot of different things and have been known to stay up to all hours on different projects. Web slinging won't pay the bills, but web development can be a great way to put your skills to work. Crawl through code and help the world build a better web. Characteristics: fun, flexible, adventuresome, and inventive. Well, they have the characteristics part down, but I want to make the world a better place, not the web. To get here, to be any help at all, I had to start with myself. I had things a little distorted. Instead of helping to make a world a better place, I wanted to fix the people in my life to make my world a better place. Helpful? No. Unproductive and frustrating. I had to grab my own oxygen mask first before I could assist anyone else. Why is it that we put ourselves last, and why self-care should be a priority? Hey, Jo Ritchie gives us her insight on this in an article she wrote for Tiny Buddha. Sometimes when we're feeling stressed and running around taking care of everybody else, the healthiest thing that we can do is to stop and consider how we can take care of ourselves. While this seems obvious to some people, many of us struggle with the idea of putting ourselves first. We were raised to think we should always put others before ourselves and ignore our own needs. that it's somehow arrogant or self-centered and not a nice thing to do. So, why is self-care not held in high regard as the essential practice that it is for our well-being? Here are some misconceptions that hold us back from looking after the most important person in our lives, ourselves. Number one, we think self-care means being selfish. Taking care of ourselves is the opposite of being selfish. It strengthens us and enables us to support our loved ones better. We are no use to anyone if our energy is depleted because we've given every last bit of it away. Self-care is an antidote to stress, and it builds resilience so we can better cope with challenges. Just think how they tell us to put on our oxygen mask first on the airplane before we help others. Yes, absolutely support others, but nurture yourself first. Number two, we confuse rescuing with caring. We often sacrifice self-care because we're too busy trying to save everyone else. But people have to learn their own lessons in life, however painful that may be. Who are you to decide that you know what is right for them? Now that is selfish, and it's based on your own desires for them, which may not truly be in their best interest. The way you can really help is to focus on yourself and stop trying to run others' lives. While we think we're caring by rescuing them from unpleasant experiences in their lives, we're denying them of the opportunity to face their own challenges and grow stronger by learning lessons while doing so. This might be a hard truth to face because it might seem like you're being nice and caring, but rescuing them every time out of what you believe is love enables this person to stay helpless. And you're burning yourself out by being stressed. This doesn't mean you should never help people, but there's a difference between providing support for somebody who asks and taking it upon yourself to save somebody and make their life turn out in a way that you think it should. Number three, we are accustomed to relationships based in neediness, not love. We often fall in love with the idea of being in love because we watch Hollywood films that portray love as dramatic and needy 24/7. When we give from this place, we give too much because we believe we have to die for that person and other such dramatic statements. As Ernest Hemingway wrote in Men Without Women, "The most painful thing is losing yourself in the process of loving someone too much and forgetting that you are special too." Instead of spending our every waking hour thinking about that other person and forgetting ourselves, we would be better served by focusing on ourselves. This way, we'll be able to give from a place of wholeness without expecting anything in return or feeling resentful. As Raleigh May said, love is generally confused with dependence. But in point of fact, you can only love in proportion to your capacity for independence. If we take care of ourselves, we are more independent, less needy of getting attention or affection, and more capable of truly connecting with another human being. Number four, we don't realize we teach people how to treat us. We teach people how to treat us by our own actions and attitude towards ourselves. By putting signs out there that you are a rescuer and will sacrifice yourself to help others, you attract the sort of people who want to be rescued and who feel it's all about them, not a balanced relationship. Then you have made it a self-fulfilling prophecy by effectively bringing about what you always complain that you attract, people who take advantage of your good nature. Here, it is useful to question whether they have really taken everything we have or if we've voluntarily given it to them. Yes, they have played a part, but we can't change them. We only have control over our own actions. So what part did we play? Although this can be hard to hear, there is always a payoff for us. Is it that you always get to be the nice guy or the victim? Take a long, hard look at that. Number 5, we expect others to take care of us. While we might believe that our actions are purely altruistic and caring, are we actually expecting something in return? I have previously been guilty of giving everything and believing I was being nice. I have previously been guilty of giving everything and believing I was being nice, but then feeling resentful when they inevitably didn't give back in equal measure. It's easy to complain about what others aren't doing. It's hard to accept that we have chosen to give all our love to them and keep none for ourselves, expecting them to fill a gap they couldn't fill because it was our own self-esteem that was missing. Somebody may take advantage of your caring nature, but if you lie down to be walked on, you can't be surprised when people treat you like a doormat. Your self-care is your responsibility and no one else's. Number 6, we don't realize our worth. Ultimately, it boils down to the fact that we think others are worth more than us. If we're confident in our love for ourselves and treat ourselves as if we are worthy, then that is what we will attract back. It comes down to the whole self-love thing again. There's a reason why this is a cliche, though, because the key of meaningful relationships really is to love ourselves first. So what does self-care actually look like? Self-care is essential for all of us, but looks different from person to person. We are all individuals with different preferences. Listen to your inner voice to find out what makes you content. Sometimes we can't even hear our own inner voice because we're so busy anticipating the needs of those we care about. So you might have to listen carefully at first. Here are a list of self-care practices to give you some inspiration. What sounds good to you? You might have many of your own. Being fully in and embracing the present moment. Mindfully living. Are you there now? Preparing and eating 3 healthy meals a day, avoiding sugar fixes. Getting outside every day. Exercising. Doing something you enjoy every day. Being creative. Spending time with positive people. Setting healthy boundaries, saying no more often, identifying negative self-talk and changing it to positive, pausing before reacting, getting one thing done every day and then celebrating this achievement, looking after your health, body, skin, hair, teeth, making regular appointments. Being grateful, starting each day with at least 3 things you can be thankful for. Yoga, meditation. Laughing more and starting the day with a smile. Singing or dancing wherever and whenever possible. Having more fun and taking life less seriously. Treating yourself with love and compassion, being your own best friend. Focusing on yourself and prioritizing your needs, not focusing on the lives of everyone else. Spending time alone and being still every day. being your true authentic self, listening to your inner voice, intuition, and doing what feels right. Avoiding overanalyzing a situation. Limiting your time on Facebook and other social media platforms. Not worrying about what other people think about you. Getting a good night's sleep every night. Being patient with yourself. Self-development is important, no matter how challenging. What's your most important self-care practice? I will just keep saying it because you know what? You can never hear it too much. You are important. And taking care of yourself, your wants, needs, and desires are important. Finding a positive support system is paramount. Plugging into good people who want the best for you and guide you instead of holding you back is critical. Spending time connecting spiritually and listening, studying, and meditating is soul nourishing. Saving yourself isn't one act of bravery. It's an ongoing, meaningful mission. So, you pick up the red phone or you flash the signal. What's the message? Where are you in distress? Look at your life not as a damsel in distress, but where you feel depleted or lacking. Maybe you don't have the experience or knowledge to get yourself out of a sticky situation. Maybe you're left holding the bag of a distressing memory you can't seem to let go of. Or maybe you're afraid and waiting for the getaway car because you can't seem to move past your fear. Just as superheroes have powers and props to help them through any struggle, so do you. Superheroes don't wipe their problems away. They confront them, and they do so with very specific strengths of character. The physical powers are secondary, really, to their character traits. Being your own superhero means that you adopt those character traits, even if you don't have X-ray vision. Patrick Cole gives us 8 steps to personal strength in an article he wrote for EverydayPower.com. Number 1. Use failure and adversity to propel you. Superman lost his parents as a baby. Batman's parents were killed by a criminal. Real parents have lost their children to drugs or gun violence. You may have had some pretty big failures or problems too. There are always 2 responses to failures and crises. We can succumb to them, give up, and live the rest of our lives in despair. Or we can use these events to motivate us to do something greater. Which will you choose? If you want an example of people using adversity to promote the greater good, think of MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. All of their children were killed as a result of drunk driving, and they have been responsible for toughening up laws all across the country. On a personal level, you can use failure or adversity as a learning experience and move yourself forward, perhaps in a different direction. Let these things motivate you to set new goals and go after them. Number 2, assess your mental strength. Mental fitness creates strength. Here are some questions to ask yourself. Do you take initiative? When you see something that needs to be done, either at work, in your community, or at home, do you take that task on? Do you believe that you can accomplish whatever is set in front of you? Are you willing to put in the time and the effort to do this? Do you believe that part of your life's work is making life better for others? Whether you're a teacher, a doctor, a street sweeper, or an entrepreneur, does your work improve the lives of others in some way? If it does, you have one solid trait that strong people have. Number 3, name your powers. You already have lots of powers. They're in the form of skills and talents. Can you name them? Once you do, then you will know that your life's work will be powerful if you use those skills and talents for yourself and others. Consider this. Bill Gates had a power. He could write code for software, and he knew he could use that power to do great things. So he developed Microsoft. How many lives have been impacted by that single skill? And once he became a billionaire, how did he use the power? He set up the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Now, your world may not be as big as Bill Gates, but you can do the same thing on a smaller scale. You can use the skills and talents you have to achieve, and then see how your achievements can be used to help others as well. That's what the real-world superheroes do. Number 4, identify the detractors and the weaknesses. Superman had kryptonite. You have things that you've identified as weaknesses. Perhaps you are impulsive. You make decisions before considering all the consequences. Once you have identified that as a weakness, you can be more vigilant. You can set a rule for yourself. You will give every major decision 24 hours to ferment before you make it. Number 5, listen to your inner self and respond. If you're feeling trapped in a work or personal situation that is not fulfilling, listen to that inner voice. How does the voice respond when you ask what would you really like to be doing right now? It will tell you. And it may be telling you to take a risk, to make a big change in your life. People become strong when they listen to that voice and take steps to follow it. What can be a stronger motivator than to follow a dream or a goal that your inner voice tells you is right for you? If you take action based upon that inner voice, the road may not be easy. It may have detours and blocks. It may even force you to reevaluate your purpose in life. But in the end, it will make you stronger. It will give you purpose. Whether the road means you leave a career path for the unknown of entrepreneurship or remove yourself from an unhealthy relationship, you will be on a road that has purpose. And the pursuit of that purpose gives you power. Number 6, embrace the negativity, then knock it out of the park. There will always be naysayers. There will be your own negative thoughts about your abilities. The only way to counter negativity is to take it in, reflect on where it is coming from, and then take steps to eliminate where it came from. If it's from other people, then you need to change the people you hang with. Widen your circle and surround yourself with like-minded people. There is a real strength in numbers and mutual cheerleading. If that negativity is coming from within, get tough. Make an action plan. Put it in writing and commit. Determination and perseverance create a strong person. Number 7, gather your weapons. Identify what is in your arsenal. You have talents, skills, passions, allies, and the ability to learn anything you need to learn. Maybe you have products or services that will solve problems or meet needs that others have, and you need to market them. Research how you can market those to a larger audience. Use your exceptional writing skills to create your own blog and promote your products and services on social media. Find allies who will promote your products or services. Start networking. Turn every talent and skill into a weapon to pursue your goals. And that's using strength to create power. Number 8, stay true to your principles. Any superhero could choose to use his or own powers for unethical or illegal purposes. Compromising your principles cheapens and weakens you both personally and in your career. Set your principles in stone and never compromise them for a short-term gain. There is great inner strength and power in doing the right thing. It's all about what you believe. And I believe in love. Only love will truly save the world. That's from Wonder Woman. That quote says it all. We need love. Love for those around us and love for ourselves. With love comes patience and understanding. Needed superpower tools if you want to crack the code of what makes you tick. Understanding yourself is the only way to achieve empowerment. For too long, I avoided me and my problems as I worked on saving everyone around me. I was convinced it was my purpose. Otherwise, why did it feel like everyone needed me so much? My superhero mask must have been on backwards because I was certainly in the dark. I had to take a good, hard look at myself, my behavior, and start getting real. I had my own slew of problems that I wasn't owning up to. Time to grow up and face the music instead of the firing squad. Maralisa Fabrega gives us some rules of adulthood in an article she wrote for daringtolivefully.com. Have you read The Power of TED, The Empowerment Dynamic? In this book, David Emerald explains a model of human interaction called the drama triangle, which was first described in Stephen Cartman's. The model describes three psychological roles or ego states, which people often take in response to a situation: persecutor, victim, and rescuer. Here's a description of each. The persecutor. If you're having a problem and you're facing an obstacle to achieving a goal that's important to you, you're likely to see that problem or obstacle as if it were a persecutor. The persecutor can be a person, an event, a situation, and so on. Victim. You act like you're being victimized by the persecutor, and you feel helpless to do anything to remedy the situation. Rescuer. Since you feel like you can't remedy the situation, you wait passively for someone else or something to come along to your rescue. A lot of our culture is made up of this drama triangle. For example, you can recognize the drama triangle in stories which involve a damsel in distress, a villain holding her captive, and a hero who sweeps in to rescue her. Of course, this dynamic doesn't apply to just women. It applies to men as well. A lot of us are harboring rescue fantasies. An area in which it's quite common for people to harbor rescue fantasies is when it comes to money. People with financial problems or people who think that they can't pursue their dreams because they don't have the money to do so are very likely to tell themselves that their problems are going to be solved at any moment by one of the following. They're going to win the lottery. They're going to meet and marry someone who's wealthy. They're going to win a jackpot in Vegas. A lawyer is going to show up at the doorstep and hand them a check for a long-lost relative who died and left them a large inheritance. Although in the glaring light of reality, all those seem pretty unlikely. A surprisingly large number of people pin their hopes on having one of these things come to pass. Keep in mind that rescue fantasies don't just apply to the area of finances. They can apply to any area in which you're not getting what you want from life. And instead of taking action, you're passively waiting for a benefactor to take some action on your behalf or for some highly improbable event to take place. The problem with rescue fantasies is that it doesn't matter how long you wait. No one is coming to the rescue. You need to accept the following. Whatever problem you're having, you're going to have to fix it yourself. Whatever it is that you want from life, you're going to have to get out there and get it for yourself. Things are not going to happen by themselves. You have to make things happen. Brian Tracy writes in his book, Goals, How We Get Everything You Want Faster Than You've Ever Thought Possible, that when he was 21 years old, he was broke. He had a job working construction, and he lived in a small one-room apartment. One night, he was sitting at the small kitchen table, and he had a sudden flash of awareness that changed his life. No one is coming to the rescue. Tracy realized at that moment that everything that had happened to him from that moment on was completely up to him. He was responsible for his life. If he didn't change, nothing else would change. Instead of thinking of this as something scary or overwhelming, coming to this realization could be empowering for you. Accepting that your life is in your own hands and that whether you succeed or fail in life is up to you is a liberating experience. Look at the following. You don't have to wait for anyone else to say or do anything to help you solve your problems or get what you want from life. You can begin to take action right away and begin moving in the direction of your dreams immediately. Self-esteem, fully realized, is the experience that we are appropriate to life and to the requirements of life. A quote by Nathaniel Branton. Today, there are tons of self-growth experts who recommend that you work on your self-esteem by doing things such as standing in front of a mirror, telling yourself how wonderful you are, and blowing little kisses at yourself. However, Nathaniel Branton, widely regarded as the world's foremost expert on the subject of self-esteem, recommends a much more practical approach. In his book, The Six Pillars of Self-Esteem, he explains that the self-esteem is made up of the following two components. Self-efficacy. The confidence that we have in our ability to cope with the basic challenges of life. Self-respect. The feeling that we are worthy of happiness and success. In turn, we can enhance our self-efficacy and our self-respect through six practices. These practices are as follows. The practice of living consciously. The practice of self-acceptance. The practice of self-responsibility. The practice of self-assertiveness. The practice of living purposefully. The practice of personal integrity. When it comes to the third practice, self-responsibility, Branton explains that we all have a need to experience a sense of control over our own existence. This requires that we be willing to take responsibility for our actions and the attainment of our goals. Branton adds that self-responsibility is essential to our own self-esteem. In the chapter of the book which Branton devotes to self-responsibility, he has a section that's titled, "No One Is Coming." In this chapter, Branton explains that after having worked with so many people in helping them to build their self-esteem, he's always looking for that moment in which a click seems to occur in a client's mind and a new forward motion begins. Branton adds that one of the most important such moments is when the client grasps that no one is coming. That is, no one is coming to make things right. No one is coming to fix their problems, and no one is coming to rescue them. If they don't do something themselves, nothing will get better. Here's a quote from Branton. "The dream of a rescuer who will deliver us may offer a kind of comfort, but it leaves us passive and powerless. We may feel, if I only suffer long enough, if I only yearn desperately enough, somehow a miracle will happen. But this is the kind of self-deception one pays for with one's life as it drains away into the abyss of unredeemable possibilities and irretrievable days, months, and decades. Take responsibility for yourself. Rescue yourself. No one is coming." There are people out there who can lend a hand if you have a problem or if there is some obstacle that you need to overcome. And learning how to ask for help and how to ask for what you want is an important part of achieving your dreams. As a general rule, people will not help you unless they see that you're taking action to help yourself. This point is well illustrated in an Aesop fable. A carter was driving a wagon along a country lane when the wheels sank deep into a rut. The rustic driver, stupefied and aghast, stood looking at the wagon and did nothing but utter loud cries to Hercules to come and help him. Hercules, it is said, appeared and thus addressed him. "Put your shoulders to the wheels, my man. Goad on the bullocks and never more pray for me to help until you've done your best to help yourself. Or depend upon it, you will henceforth pray in vain." Self-help is the best help. Here's a quote from the book, The Royal Path of Life, that presents a similar sentiment. "Let not, then, the young man sit with his folded hands, calling on Hercules. Thine own arms is the demigod. It was given thee to thyself." Pablo Picasso once said that inspiration does exist, but it has to find you working. In much the same way, luck does exist, but it has to find you working. Thanks so much for sticking with me as we talked about becoming your own superhero and saving yourself. Hope you picked up some things that you can apply, some little quips, some fun little things to think about yourself, empower yourself. You know, sometimes we can make fun of it, and sometimes we can get down to business and really take it to heart, because waiting around, being passive, hoping that someday things will change is not going to make change. So taking action and really embracing that to move forward. We talked a little bit about putting ourselves last. Why do we do that? Some little self-nurturing things. You know, we talk about it all the time. Self-care, taking care of yourself, making time for yourself, making your priorities important. But it's true. And so many things we just take for granted. You know, extra time that we could unplug, relax, take in a good breath, maybe do some brainstorming of some fun activities that we might want to do, some things that nurture our mind and our bodies and our souls, maybe some creative fun outlets like picking up a new hobby, taking some extra time to read or listen to a podcast, you know, working on personal development. What about the 8 steps to personal strength? Couldn't we all feel a little stronger in our day-to-day, whether it's your personal life or your professional life or a mixture of the two? You know, taking your failures and turning them around, your negativity and turning it into positive. There's so many situations that we can reframe in a positive way. Being able to let go of things that don't serve us anymore and assess our mental strength. You know, what are you doing right? What might you need a little extra help on? Some more focus. What about your weaknesses? How can you identify those and turn them around and use them in a positive way? What about listening to your inner self? So many times we listen to everything else that's coming at us from all different angles, and we don't tap into our own intuition, our own internal voice. How about gathering the skills that you have now and putting them to good use? What are your skills? What are your superhero talents that you haven't even tapped into or haven't decided to use yet in your life? It's about what you believe, and I believe in love. Only true love will truly save the world. Wonder Woman had it figured out, and we can embody that today. In our own lives, nurturing and loving ourselves, and in the way that we connect and love others. Part of loving is understanding and having patience for someone else's ideas and opinions. Not being so quick to judge, but just fully loving. We talked about the 3 types of psychological roles: persecutor, victim, and rescuer. If you identify with those, think about that the next situation, how you persecute, how you victimize, and how you rescue or wait for rescue. Wow, that was really dynamic and had us look a little bit deeper into ourselves and our behaviors. That brings us to remembering our power. No one is coming to your rescue. Whatever problem you're having, you're going to have to fix it yourself. Whatever it is that you want from life, you're going to have to go and get it for yourself. Things are not going to happen by themselves. You have to make them happen. Be honest with yourself. Is there an area of your life in which you're passively waiting for a stroke of luck or someone to come out of the blue and save you? Are you telling yourself, someday when this or that happens, I'm finally going to be able to stop waiting for a rescuer or for some chance event to take place and begin taking steps to rescue yourself? If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they are not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit Encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, take a look in the mirror, explore your denial and your truth. Abandon your belief that your powers are not to be used for your own rescuing and take action today. Saving your world is a worthy cause. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. I stumbled through until the path was clear.